Thank you for downloading our podcast. This recording has been created by the Tower of London Education Service in conjunction with the Royal Armouries to mark the opening of the exhibition Fit for a King in the White Tower. The Tower of London occupies a prominent place in our nation's history, and over the centuries it has witnessed some of the most dramatic events which have helped to shape the country we live in today. However, through this podcast series, we have opened up the archives to explore some of the less well-known stories of the Tower, giving a compelling and perhaps surprising insight into the Tower of London's role in our cultural memory.
Thomas Blood, the son of a blacksmith, was born in Ireland in 1618. His early life is shrouded in mystery, but it is known that at the outbreak of the First English Civil War, he took up with the forces loyal to Charles I. But as the conflict progressed, he switched sides and became a lieutenant in Oliver Cromwell's Roundheads. When the war was over, he was rewarded with valuable land grants. But with the restoration of Charles II in 1660, much of the land that had been given to Blood was confiscated as a punishment for having fought against the monarchy. Dissatisfied and angry at this injustice, Blood began to conspire against the authorities. He played a major part in the Dublin Plot of 1663, a conspiracy which aimed to seize Dublin Castle, the seat of government. Unfortunately, the plan failed, and Blood fled, escaping arrest and execution. Gradually, he made his way to London to meet up with other conspirators. His wife and children followed, and the family settled in Shoreditch. Blood still felt he had a score to settle, and in 1670 made an extraordinary attempt to capture the Duke of Ormond, whom he blamed for the seizure of his lands. That too failed. Once again, Blood narrowly avoided arrest, but this time came away with a price of £1,000 on his head. 6 months later, undeterred, Blood engaged in the most daring escapade of his career. He planned to steal the crown jewels from the Tower of London. Talbot Edwards, an elderly former soldier, was responsible for the safety of the jewels. He lived with his family in the Martin Tower, where the crown jewels were housed. He was allowed to make a little money from his position by taking a fee from curious visitors who wished to see the jewels. In April 1671, he had two visitors, Dr. Ayliffe and his wife. Ayliffe, a parson, was most interested in the jewels, but during the visit his wife was taken ill. Edwards generously let the woman recover in his apartment where his own wife and daughter tended her. Ayliffe was hugely grateful and returned a few days later with four pairs of white gloves as a gift for Mrs. Edwards. He became a frequent visitor and a firm friend. Keen to consolidate this friendship, Ayliffe suggested the marriage of Edward's daughter to his own nephew. Little did Edwards know that Ayliffe was in fact Colonel Thomas Blood in disguise. The marriage terms were agreed, and arrangements were made for Ayliffe's nephew to be brought to the Tower to meet his intended bride on the 9th of May, 1671. Early that morning, five men rode into the Tower. One of the men, William Smith, remained outside with the horses, whilst Blood and his son Thomas, playing the part of the enamoured nephew, made their way to the Martin Tower, accompanied by two others, Captain Robert Perrott and Captain Richard Halliwell. All were well armed with pocket pistols, knives and sword sticks. They met Edwards at the Martin Tower, where Blood, as Ayliffe, suggested that the jewels might be shown to his friends while they waited for the ladies to join them. Halliwell stood guard, whilst the others followed. Once inside, the door was closed and a plug of wood was rammed inside Edward's mouth to silence him. The old man was told that if he behaved, he would not be harmed, but he began to struggle and was struck on the head with a wooden mallet, causing him to fall to the floor. Still he struggled, so they beat him and finally stabbed him in the stomach. One of the robbers knelt down to listen to his breathing and concluded that they'd killed him. He was wrong. Edwards had passed out, but was still alive. At last, Blood and his gang finally had their hands on the crown jewels of England. Blood took the king's state crown, which he crushed and put inside his parson's cloak. His son began to file the sceptre in two to put in a bag, whilst Perrot stuffed the orb down his breeches. Everything was going according to plan, but then, disaster. Halliwell rushed in to warn them that Edward's son, who had been overseas for several years, had chosen this moment to return home. The gang decided to flee immediately, taking only the crown and orb with them, leaving the half-filed sceptre on the floor. Meanwhile, Talbot Edwards regained consciousness just in time to raise the alarm, and his son, with Edwards, along with his friend, Captain Martin Beckman, raced to capture the thieves. The chase was on. Halliwell and Thomas Blood Jr. managed to reach their horses and rode off, though the latter in his haste crashed into a cart, was recognised, caught and arrested. Colonel Blood and Captain Perrot were making their way along Water Lane in the direction of the Bywood Tower when they were spotted by a yeoman warder who threw himself to the ground when they shot at him. Making their way through the crowds on the wharf, seeing that Edwards and Beckman were gaining on them, Blood audaciously shouted, "Stop, thief!" and pointed at his pursuers. Edwards and Beckman were immediately set upon, but managed to establish their innocence and continued with the chase. Beckman was the first to catch up with Blood and Perrot, and after a brief struggle, the pair were arrested. Blood was apparently undaunted by the failure of his plan, and is alleged to have said that it was a gallant attempt, but it was for a crown. The last man to steal the crown jewels was hanged and flayed, his skin nailed to the door of the chamber that he stole them from. Did the same fate await Blood? No. Blood was sent to the Tower, but seemed unconcerned. In fact, when cross-examined, he demanded to see the king in person. To everyone's surprise, the king agreed. He interviewed Blood. After the interview, Blood was returned to the Tower. 2 months later, a warrant was presented for Blood's release. On the 26th of August, 1671, Colonel Thomas Blood received a full pardon for all his previous crimes and a grant of Irish lands worth £500 a year. His fate was used as a spectacular display of royal mercy. Blood began to name names, and soon afterwards a number of arrests were made. He was soon being employed for domestic espionage and was used as a spy by several different parties. Sitting in his usual spot at White's Coffee House near the Royal Exchange, Blood is said to have proclaimed, "It's no matter if one lets me fall, another takes me up. I'm the best tool they have." His luck was not to last, however. In the late 1670s, he fell into dispute with the Duke of Buckingham about some insulting remarks Blood had made on his character. He was convicted by the King's Bench and was fined and imprisoned at Westminster. There he caught a fever, and when he was released, was in poor health. He died at home on the 24th of August, 1680, at the age of 62. But even his death was regarded as some form of trickery, and rumours began to circulate that he was in fact still alive. The authorities decided that the only way to quash the rumours was to exhume and identify Blood's body. He was indeed dead. The adventures of Colonel Blood were finally at an end, though his reputation lived on. Not everyone fell for his charms, however. As Blood's epitaph read, "Here lies the man who boldly hath run through more villainies than England ever knew, and ne'er to any friend he had was true. Here let him then by all unpitied lie, and let's rejoice his time was come to die."
Hello, my name is Bridget Clifford and I'm the Royal Armoury's Keeper of Collections at the Tower of London. This podcast is based around material featured in our new display, Prisoners and Punishment, on the top floor of the White Tower. Colonel Blood secured his place in history as the man who tried to steal the crown jewels in 1671. He is remembered as a lovable rogue rather than a violent criminal. We seem prepared to overlook the bludgeoning into unconsciousness of the elderly keeper Talbot Edwards, and the fact that the robbers came armed with pistols and knives, preferring to recall Blood's ability to talk his way out of trouble. This little dagger, with its diamond section blade, is said to have belonged to Blood. It is of a style popular from the 14th century, but is dated 1620, so technically it was an antique when Blood chose to use it.
Historic Royal Palaces is the independent charity that looks after the Tower of London, Hampton Court Palace, the Banqueting House, Kensington Palace and Kew Palace. We help everyone explore the story of how monarchs and people have shaped society in some of the greatest palaces ever built. We receive no funding from the government or the Crown, so we depend on the support of our visitors, members, donors, volunteers and sponsors. The Tower of London Education Service provides both formal and informal education at the Tower. Each year we welcome over 100,000 education visitors to the Tower, helping them to explore the stories of this magnificent palace and fortress. For more information, please visit our website at www.hrp.org.uk.